Wearing of the Green, The Girl from County Mayo. Episode 1, Ireland in the Midst of Darkness.
My grandmother's grandmother was a child of Ireland. What the British did to her was inhumane. What she did to them is legend. This is her story.
Suffering under cruel British penal laws, the Irish discover that their servitude and compliance is not enough. Left impoverished and without hope, seeds of rebellion take root. The colour green becomes a symbol of their rebellion. To wear or display it is treason, punishable by death. The sun sets over the bustling Belfast market as harried servants, farmers and vendors hurry to finish their transactions before curfew. Two soldiers escort a white-wigged British official onto a platform in the centre of the market. He unrolls a parchment with the royal seal and reads aloud from it.
By order of His Majesty, King George III, Supreme Governor of the Church of England and Protector of the Empire, to his Irish subjects, Catholics are hereby commanded to publicly denounce the Pope and convert to His Majesty's Protestant faith. Practicing Catholic priests, teachers, and their followers will be hanged. Any who shelter them will meet the same fate. Every Irish man, woman, and child of age are commanded by His Majesty to appear before his court and to take an oath of loyalty and affection to the crown. Hush up! Forthwith, the Irish language is forbidden to be spoken in public.
Far away in County Mayo on the west coast, a dirt road snakes across the lush Irish countryside, weaving between small thatched cottages. One of the tiny cottages is home to the O'Neill family, teen Rihanna, her little sister Catherine, and their parents Padraig and Colleen. A blackened cauldron hangs above the flames of a small rock-encircled fire in the centre of the room. Seated cross-legged on the dirt floor, Rihanna cradles her little sister in her lap, while the child sings a song to her small rag doll. Opposite them, their father Padraig tells their mother Colleen a funny story. She laughs and lovingly elbows him before returning to cutting her freshly cooked potatoes from the cauldron.
You best get a move on or you'll be late for work, Rihanna. Weather's getting fierce, love.
You have to be getting to sleep soon anyway, Catherine. I'll be home in a fortnight, so let me up, I can't be late. Lady Ellen's visiting from England with her fiancé and...
Aye?
And Maura said his lordship is sure to be in...
Be careful of that one, Rihanna.
Why? He seems pleasant enough, da.
You've only known him for a short time. He's an Englishman and as wicked as the best of them. Don't you be fooled by any of them.
Ugh, you worry too much about them.
You worry too little.
Pay mind to your da, love.
I'll be just fine, but I'd better hurry. Catherine, don't you be forgetting to say your prayers, asking God to keep you safe and sound.
Clouds pass over the moon as the winding dirt road travels around a curve and heads towards an ornate set of large black iron gates. A sign identifies the estate as the Crofton House. Inside the Crofton House kitchen, Maura, a haggard scullery maid, scrubs the floor. She wipes sweat from her brow and throws the large soapy rag into the wooden bucket, exhausted. Startled, she spins around and glares at the narrow opening to a small back staircase. Rihanna bursts through into the kitchen.
Quiet down, you'll wake the dead!
Rihanna bolts across the soapy floor, falls and slams headlong into the counter. Maura quickly notices her bruised face and torn, blood-splattered servant's uniform.
Holy Mother of God, what have you done?
I was just turning down his lordship's bed for the night, and I just wanted to make him stop, Maura!
Their heads snap back to the stairwell.
I swear to God I didn't mean to. I was just so scared, I...
Run, Rihanna. Don't look back.
Rihanna snatches her shawl from a peg and bolts outside. Maura makes the sign of the cross and hobbles over to the stairwell.
Coming, m'lady!
In an upstairs bedroom, an old man lay sprawled face down on the floor with his pants gathered at his ankles. A bloodied crystal decanter lies overturned on the floor next to him. A finely dressed woman drops to her knees and roughly shakes him.
Papa! Papa!
Her fiancé, Captain Treadwell, an imposing figure in a scarlet dress, military uniform, rushes in.
Ellen, what's the...
He races over, drops to his knees and turns the man over. Blood trickles from a large gash in his head and slides past his opened yet non-responsive eyes. Treadwell places his ear next to the man's mouth, then looks up at Lady Ellen and shakes his head.
No!
She cradles her father's head and rocks back and forth, sobbing in anguish and disbelief. Treadwell opens the man's bloodied, bruised fist and removes a clump of long red hair from between his stubby fingers. Maura rushes through the door and stops, horrified. Treadwell jumps up and grabs her by her hair.
Where's O'Neill?
She won't tell you. These Irish slatterns are all alike. Thieving, lying whores.
She snatches the crystal decanter beside her father's body and throws it at the old woman.
Murderers!
Treadwell releases Maura and storms out of the room.
Prepare the horses!
Lady Ellen leans in close to her father's ear and whispers in a childlike voice.
That papist whore will pay, Papa. They all will, I swear it.
The scene back at Rhianna's home is peaceful, serene. The small rock-encircled fire in the centre of the room is now a pile of burning embers. Rhianna's little sister Catherine sleeps on a pile of straw by the dwindling fire, curled up in her snoring father's arms. Her mother softly snores on another pile of straw across from them. Colleen stirs at the sound of the cracking branch. Her thin hand reaches up and pulls a threadbare blanket tighter around her shoulders. Outside, five sets of black military boots creep through tall brush towards the cottage. Captain Treadwell motions to two English soldiers who ready their muskets and rush towards the back. Treadwell withdraws one of two pistols secured in his waistband, motions to a soldier and heads towards the door. The soldier raises his boot, kicks the door open and barrels inside. Rhianna's family bolts up in fear and confusion. Padraig jumps to his feet, tumbling Catherine to the floor. Colleen scrambles over the fire, scoops the child into her arms and crouches in terror in the corner.
What in the name of God, dear?
A soldier smashes his musket into his face, toppling him to the dirt floor, bloodied in daze. Treadwell stomps over the fallen door, snatches Catherine from her mother's embrace and yanks the child to her feet.
No! Catherine!
Take your hands off my daughter! What do you want?
Your other one.
What in Jesus' name for?
Murder!
Murder! Whoever told you that pup had too much to drink in his belly? Rhianna doesn't have an inner to harm a fly, let alone another soul. Everyone knows it.
Catherine struggles to pull away from Treadwell's hold. He grips her harder. Padraig jumps up and rushes in.
And get your filthy hands off my...
Padraig's eyes widen. He clutches and stares at his mangled stomach, then drops to his knees and falls forward, dead. Treadwell shoves the still-smoking pistol into his waistband, withdraws the second one and aims at Colleen.
Well...
He throws Catherine to the floor.
Jesus, she's just an innocent child!
Indeed.
He snatches Catherine back up, examines her face and smirks.
And when she grows up...
He places the barrel of his pistol against the child's cheek.
I'll do anything, please!
Tell me where your other daughter is.
Oh, my Lord, if she's not at work at the Crofton House, then I don't know where else she could be!
Then you are of no use to me.
Colleen's belly tears open, turning her white shift crimson. She crumbles to the floor, dead before she hits it. Catherine bites the hand that holds the now smoking gun. Treadwell curses, grabs his bloody hand and drops her. She scrambles up and flees to the tiny window above the small dresser. The little girl's back rips open and her white nightdress turns red. Her small, broken body slowly slides down the dresser, folding into a heap on the floor. The soldier lowers his smoking musket. Furious, Treadwell examines the bite mark on his hand and scans the room. He picks up a Bible on the floor by Padraig's straw bed. A green ribbon slides out of the pages. Treadwell rips it out and throws both into the fire, disgusted.
Torch it!
He storms outside as the soldiers snatch handfuls of straw from the beds, dip them into the extinguishing fire and set the beds ablaze. Desperate to get home to warn her family, Rhianna races through the forest, battling whipping tree branches and thick uneven undergrowth. She trips over a small tree root and tumbles down a hill into a small muddy puddle. She scrambles up and catches sight of two soldiers coming her way. She drops to her knees and scampers inside a thorn bush. The soldiers stop every few feet and thrust their bayoneted muskets into the bushes. A pair of black boots stops inches from her and the soldier raises his musket, ready to plunge into her hiding spot. She closes her eyes tight.
She's not here! Let's move!
Both soldiers turn and race out of the forest. Rihanna waits a moment, then crawls out of the bush. She makes her way to the edge of the forest just in time to see Treadwell and his men mount their horses and gallop away. Then she sees the black smoke billowing from the window of her home. Beside herself in horror, she careens through the brush and pulls herself through the fiery window. Inside a small wooden cabin a few miles away, an elderly man snores, fast asleep in bed. His eyes snap open. He throws his thin blanket away, sits up, rubs his eyes and struggles out of bed. He grabs a lantern from the floor. The lantern illuminates a large crucifix nailed to the wall above his bed. He removes the crucifix from the wall and slips it under his thin mattress. He angrily shuffles across the room.
For Christ's sake, it's the middle of the night! I'm coming, damn it!
He opens the door and braces against the wind and rain. He raises the lantern and sees Rihanna's bloodied, soot-covered face and torn clothing.
Holy Mother of God! What the...
They're all dead, Father Meehan! You have to help me!
What in the name of God are you on about? Who's dead?
Everyone. I killed Lord Dalton.
The priest recoils in horror, makes the sign of the cross, looks outside for witnesses, then roughly gathers her inside.
No, I didn't mean to, but he fouled me in the most unspeakable way. I swear to Jesus, I was just trying to get away. Ye have to believe me.
Are you mad? They can't catch you here.
But I need sanctuary.
You'll not find it here, O'Neill. Not when you kill an Englishman. Especially that one.
But it was an accident. I didn't mean no harm. Please, Father, tell them I didn't.
He looks around outside, then roughly shoves her out of his house, yelling loud enough for any hidden but within earshot to hear.
I'll not go to the gallows for a crime I had no part in.
He stares down at the ragged, sobbing creature now on her knees in the mud, tears cascading down her bloodied face. A glimmer of pity crosses his old eyes.
I'm truly, truly sorry for what happened, O'Neill. I am. But I can have no part in any of it. I've enough trouble from the English already. I pray for your soul. It's all I can do. You be in God's hands now.
He reaches a bony hand into his nightdress pocket and withdraws two coins. He looks at them, hesitates, then folds the coins into her hand and makes the sign of the cross over her head. He pokes his head outside again and screams into the storm.
I've got nothing to do with any of it. And anyone who says otherwise can be damned and you go to hell. You were never here, O'Neill. And I never seen you. Best run now while you still can. And may God have mercy on us all for what you've done with your mortal sin.
He slams the door shut in her face.
Wearing of the Green, The Girl from County Mayo, was produced by RP Productions in Portland, Oregon, and recorded at Newcomb Studios. Voiceover cast: Morgan Bartz, Janet Scanlon, Brandon Davis, Nick Medina, Carrie Kehoe, and Jake Newcomb.